There's a fascinating tshuva from Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe in Yeridaya, Chelek Gimel, tshuva Kuf Yudal, where he talks about the definition of a koifer. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Tes, tells us that Dvar Hashem Boza refers to an apikoiris, and what's considered an apikoiris, a koifer, says the Gemara, a person who denies that a certain pasuk or a certain parsha was given from a Kadosh Baruch. If he says, let's say, Moshe made up this pasuk, or Moshe made up this parsha, or Moshe made up the entire Torah, that's an apikoiris. Even if he believes the entire Torah came from the Ribbono Shel Olam, if there's even one pasuk that he claims doesn't come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Moshe made it up himself, he's a koifer, and he's included in the pasuk of Dvar Hashem Boza. The Rambam adds to this statement, and the Rambam says, not only is he a koifer if he rejects a pasuk that's in the Torah, but even if he rejects even one word, teva achas, even one word of the Torah, and he claims that that word was made up by Moshe and it didn't come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, even such a person is considered a koifer, and he goes into the sugya over there. Ein lechelik la'ilam haba, he's a full-fledged abikoyris. Moshe Feinstein adds even one letter. He says not just is it one word, but even one letter, if you believe that even one letter comes from someone else, a Navi made it up, or Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, you're a full-fledged koifer if you reject the fact that it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. As Isaac Dr. Moshe. Ramesha then talks about the ability or the inability of a Navi to make some type of correction or some type of change in a pasuk in the Torah. And Ramesha says that even if there was a Navi that came along and said that there is a certain tzorech to change a word of the Torah, we would have to give him chenek. He's a koifer and you have no right to listen to him. He's completely reject it. And Ramesha goes on to say that even though you'll find in a couple of sources certain mashmoisin that do in fact imply that a Navi had some rights to make some type of modification or change in the way a pasuk is read, you have to assume that that is a forgery, and even though there perhaps may be a makor that seems to come from the times of the Rishayim, or even from the times before the Rishayim, you have to assume that it's a forgery, and it can't be that you have any legitimate source that claims that a Navi at any time in history has a right to change from the words that were given to the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe in the Torah. One of the examples that's discussed in the Tshuva is the example of Ezra HaSeifer. You know, Ezra HaSeifer was, as the word denotes, a scribe. Ezra HaSeifer. And Chazal do imply that he did have some type of right to make some type of correction in the Torah. And the question is, what type of right was being referred to here? So there's a machlekes, or at least something that seems like a machlekes, between the Piskei HaTosfos and Ovis Reb Nosson. Now, Ovis Reb Nosson is a braisa. But Ramesha holds that the opinion brought down in the Avos Reb Nosson has to be a forgery and it can't be a correct gears. The Piskei HaTosfos says as follows. He says that even though a Navi Avada cannot change a word of the Torah, even a letter of the Torah, he can't add or he can't subtract. However, Ezra Sefer was able to add a dot in the Torah. Not Nekudas, not a letter, just a dot. And you find a couple of times in the Torah where there's a dot. And that was in fact added by Ezra HaSeifer. And a couple of examples are, you find when Esav kisses his brother Yaakov, on the word in the Torah that describes the kiss, there's a dot under that word. As if to say, says Ramesha, that there's something amiss here, something that's out of the superficial reading of the pasuk when it comes to this kiss. And if you take a look at Rashi, he brings from Chazal that perhaps it wasn't a real kiss, it wasn't a genuine kiss, and there was something that's being implied to you, something that's being indicated by the pasuk to the reader of this word that this word shouldn't be understood kipshutoi. A second place is when the Torah says that hanistarois l'Hashem Elokeinu v'hanigloys lonu ulvoneinu adaylam. When it says that the niglois, the averis that are in the open, that are exposed, are lonu ulvoneinu. That even if you don't commit the sin, someone else commits the sin, you have arvos, you have to ensure that he's, protected from this avera, and you have to get involved to try to help him to avoid this avera. So that's what the pasuk is saying, lonu, hanigloys lonu ulvoneinu. There's dots under the words lonu ulvoneinu. And the question is, why are these dots added? So the way the Piskei Taisus understands, Ezra Sefer added it. Why? Because even though he had no right to add a letter or subtract a letter to the Torah, that dot he did have a right to add. And what was the purpose of adding that dot? To imply that even though it seems like there's a very unequivocal arvos that a yid has to his friend, but the truth is that this arvos only started when Klal Yisrael made a bris on arvos moyev, and they took upon themselves the concept of arvos to each other, and it's not something that always existed. When the pasuk was written, it not necessarily happened yet, the arvos, and therefore there's a dot under of these words to say that it's not so simple, it's not so universal. Lonu ulvoneinu, hanigloys lonu ulvoneinu, only happens after Arvos Moyov, when the Arvos is taken and adopted upon Klal Yisrael. So the Piskei Taisus is understanding that Avada, even a Navi, cannot add or subtract to the words or letters of the Torah, but a dot he could add as a way of hinting to the reader that this word shouldn't be understood kapshutai. There's an Ovis Drav Nosen. The Ovis Drav Nosen in a Braisa seems to understand this episode, this, incident differently. And he says that Ezra came along and he made a dot under these particular words in the Torah. And he said that if Eliyahu HaNavi will come to me and say, why didn't you take out these words in the Torah, I'm going to say, I put a dot there, as if to allude to the fact that it shouldn't be understood kipshutoi. And if he says, these words were good, why would you, why would you think about changing it? I would respond that I didn't change it. I left it as it is. I didn't reduce the words of the Torah. I didn't deduct any words of the Torah. But in the first part of the sentence, he says that if Eliyahu comes to me and says, why didn't you remove these words of the Torah? I would say, well, I added a dot as if to hint to the reader that it shouldn't be understood kipshutoi. This mashmois that is given by the Ovis Drav Nosen is that, in fact, Ezra did have a right to take away words of the Torah that were shver, or perhaps that didn't really apply the Doris. And the question is, how could we understand this statement of Ovis Drav Nosen, that Ezra had a right to perhaps edit and change and modify words of the Rabbi Yishlam, words of the Torah? So Ramesha says it's a forgery, it cannot be understood kipshutai, and it's a toast. Ramesha says it's kfira. Not only is it a toast, it's a kfira, it's apikorsis, it's dvar Hashem baza. Ramesha is very sharp and vehement in his tshuva that this statement is completely unacceptable. And he brings down that one of the primary commentators on the Ovis Drav Nosen is the Binyan Yeshua, and he taka understands the Ovis Drav Nosen kipshutai, that Ezra had a right to take out letters of the Torah. And Ramesha says that he made a tos, and it's kfira, and in spite of the fact that he's a chashav ha'achron, it cannot be so, it's unacceptable. And the truth is that he's actually, the Binyan Shua is actually quoting this from the Kosnas Or, and nevertheless, even though the Kosnas Or was a tremendous gadol, Ramesha still rejects this out of hand, because he says that it's unacceptable to try to imply that Ezra had any right to edit or modify the words of the Torah. And Ramesha in the Tshuva adds that there are other Svarim that are from Kedoshim and from Yishayim that also seem to have this implication that somehow words can be changed and something could be modified. and it's completely kfira, and you cannot accept it, and obviously it's a forgery, and it's not a legitimate edition of this Rishon. And that is what a manuscript that emerged from the Sefer Chassidim, from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And there are certain occasions in the Sefer where, again, you have this implication, you have this mashmois, that somehow some things, words, could be changed by a Navi. One of them is the pasuk where it says that he placed Vayosem as Rosh Ephraim lefnei Menashe, that Ephraim was placed before Menashe when they were being brought to Yaakov Avinu, to Yitzchak, to get the brachas. And Pasha Pshat, you learn that he switched his hands around and he wanted to give the bracha to Ephraim before Menashe, even though Ephraim was the younger sibling. That's the Pasha Pshat, how we always read the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid has a different interpretation. And according to the Girsa that we have, his interpretation is that Vayosem Yeshua, Vayosem the Rosh Ephraim, that when Ephraim was placed before Menashe, it's not referring to the time of the bracha, but it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu placing Ephraim before Menashe later on when he gave out the Degolim, when they were traveling in the Midbar under the Degolim, and he took care of Ephraim before providing the Degel for Menashe. And the reference to placing Ephraim before Menashe was not Bishas the Bracha, it was rather referring to Moshe giving the Degel to Menashe, to Ephraim before Menashe, even though Ephraim was younger. And why doesn't it say Vayosem? Why does it just say, and he placed? So, says Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid, the person who wrote this pasuk was actually Yeshua or the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. But it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it says Vayosem, even though it was Moshe Pashtos writing most of the words of the Torah. Because this particular pasuk wasn't written by Moshe, it was written by Yeshua or the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, and therefore it says Vayosem, referring to Moshe. Ramosha says this is completely unacceptable, and this is toast in the gear, so you can't accept any Sefer, even if it's from the Sefer Chassidim, that implies that somehow words of the Torah can be added or subtracted that wasn't handed down from the Rebbeinu Shlom to Moshe. Another example is by the Shiras Be'er. By the Shiras Be'er, after Klal Yisrael were very thirsty and they got a Be'er when they were in the Midbar, a well of water, to provide them with something to drink and quench their thirst, there's a Shiras Be'er that we find. And according to this Girsa in the Sefer Chassidim, the Shiras HaBe'er was actually the words of the Perek, Ki Lo Elam Chastoi, Hoidu L'Hashem Ki Lo Elam Chastoi, that we say in Tehillim. That we say in Tehillim. And according to this Girsa of Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid, this was actually originally part of the Torah. And this was the Shiras HaBe'er, these words, Ki Lo Elam Chastoi, Ki Lo Elam Chastoi. That's why it talks about Sichain and Oi, because it was really written by Moshe. And David HaMelech in Tehillim didn't endure and didn't encounter Sichan and Oy. And David removed it from the Torah and David placed it in Tehillim. And says Rav Moshe, this is kfira to say such a thing. Avada, you cannot accept such a girsa that somehow David had the right to remove psukim from the Torah and place it in Tehillim. And therefore, Avada, this is a forgery. It's not a true edition of the Sefer Chassidim of Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid. And Rav Moshe says that you find even in the Gemara says that Yechezkel HaNavi, in the Psukim in Yechezkel, had certain things that were very shver. And Yeshua ben Chananya took up the Sefer Yechezkel and worked on it until he reconciled the different contradictions and the different kashas. And you see clearly that even if it were to be Yechezkel HaNavi that wrote the Navi, if it was something that's unacceptable to our Yahadus, to our Hashkafa, we would not be able to learn from it. And again, says Rav Moshe, even if you have Mekairis and Rishonim and G'dayli Achronim that imply otherwise, you have to assume that it's a Tos HaTfos or it's a forgery, but it cannot be accepted ever and it's mamasha apikursis that comes from the pasuk Dvar Hashem Bozo that must be rejected at all costs.